Awaiting your phone calls and text messages Julie Weisenhorn.
Bring them on. Bring them on.
From the University of Minnesota and from the Abiders. Not necessarily in that order. Somebody had a question about that, your band.
I know.
Do we need to talk about that? Yeah, well, we'll do that. We'll talk about that. In the meantime, we do, as I said, welcome your lawn and garden questions, either by phone or by text. Let me give you the phone number, 651-989-9226. If you want to use the phone, I urge you to do that now because we tend to get busy. And you might find the lines busy if you wait a little bit. So call us with your lawn or garden question. Or, if it's easier, send Julie a text, 81807, 81807. Just kind of a heads up, Julie, because you reminded me, and I want to remind our listeners, that next week, the next two Saturdays.
Right, right.
We'll have two special guests.
Yes, yeah. Master Gardener Kate Netwall and Sam Bauer. The guru of green.
Yeah, so if you have a lawn specifically, a turf question.
Yeah, they'll be covering for Teresa and I. We're both going to be at horticulture days. I'll be up in Chisago City at the Chisago County Master Gardener Horticulture Day, and I'll be at the Isanti County the next week. So North Branch next weekend and Cambridge the next.
So Kate, the Master Gardener, will be here, but if there are specific turf questions, if you're already planning ahead on your lawn, Sam's the guy you want to talk with.
Sam's on the schedule, so.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, they're going to team up.
Good deal. That'll be next week.
Next week and the following week.
And the following week. All right, 651. I know folks are calling in, and we'll get to your calls in just a moment, so be patient. Let the phones ring. Our guy is getting some chow. But in the meantime, we'll talk about it. Is there a text there that you can grab here?
Somebody asked about, they have three hibiscus trees covered with white flies. One of the trees is nearly 50 years old. Holy camoli. How can I get rid of these? So I did a little looking on our extension website. And white flies are kind of moth-like insects. They're very small. The adults, they look like little tiny white flies. They do fly around, but they're not true flies. They're more, they're sucking insects, more like a scale or a mealybug or an aphid. And the juveniles, the immature, white flies actually are on the underside of leaves, and they look kind of just like a pale little oval shape. They're really hard to see. And so you have to look underneath those leaves. But the solutions for treating those are to wash the plant, wash the leaves, and that you could wash with just water and maybe a little bit of soap and then rinse it well. But you can also add – there's a number of chemicals. Permethrin is one. Some other kinds too. You can find those on the at your garden center. You can also use neem oil or horticultural oils. Those are, have a little bit lower impact on the any beneficials. And then you're going to want to spray that application about every 5 days.
Mm.
So it's intensive, and they're hard to see. They're really small, and they fly. You know, they get you disturb them, and they pop up from the leaf. So. But they're hard to see on that underside. That's a lot of the, that's usually where those insects reside is under leaves. So it's, you got to look all over the leaves when you're looking for pests.
But if you're going to treat it, you can't treat them now.
Well, indoors you could, but you, whenever you treat these plants, even if you're using one of the lower impact, you want to isolate that plant. You want to do it outside if you can. If there's a nice day out.
True, that's a good point.
You can do that. You can also bag it with a big contractor's bag, you know, a big plastic bag. Bag it, and then you could poke a little hole in there and spray it too. But that's a little more work. I do that with my lemon tree once in a while when I'm spraying horticultural soap or horticultural oil because it's kind of messy. So that's the other thing. But you could do it in the garage. You want to do it in an open air place, away from pets, away from other people, from food, because you don't even want the horticultural oils getting into things you might consume.
651-989-9226 or send a text 81807. Sheila is calling from North Oaks. Sheila, you're on with Julie.
Well, hi. This is your weekly Christmas catch.
Right.
Well, you know, when I got this at Christmas time, it was blooming.
Sure.
And now it looks like it needs water, but I'm afraid to water it. I put a couple ice cubes in there, and then it's got a couple little pink buds at the end that never do anything. They just kind of wither.
Okay. So it looks, does it look wilted?
Well, a little bit, but you know, they say you shouldn't water it much. So what's the watering deal?
Well, the first thing is you want to make sure that if you're watering it, that it's draining really well. So is it doing that? Is water coming out the bottom?
I've got it in that red paper yet for Christmas.
So you need to take it out of that paper when you water it. Okay. The biggest problem with Christmas cactus is that if we don't let them drain well, you'll often contract root rot, which will ultimately kill the plant. And that wilting could be the result of overwatering, of too much water sitting in that bottom of that plastic or of that wrapper. So take it out, put it in the sink, water it, make sure it drains really well, and then put it back. You can put it back in the foil or you could put it in a decorative pot. But just always be sure it drains really well.
Okay.
And those plants like to be in cooler locations and kind of a brighter light. So look around your house for, you know, keep it out of heat registers and away from really hot, like western windows that are hot, anything like that. So cooler temperatures are better for it.
All right, very good, Sheila. Thank you. There's a line open at 651-989-9226. You know, we're getting questions every week about winter sowing.
Oh, sure.
Can we talk like what it is for new listeners?
Yeah, so winter sowing is a way to start plants early. And what I've seen from winter sowing is that you do at home is an easy way to do it is use like a gallon milk jug, an empty plastic gallon milk jug, one that's somewhat transparent. I don't think you want to use like a solid white one. I'm not really sure about that, but I think you need a little more light. And you cut it just in around the middle so the handle is kind of loose and you can flip it back, you fill it with soil and you sow some seeds in there and you close it back up and tape it shut. And those seeds will germinate in there. They'll get the light and they'll germinate in there. Bachman's actually has a great publication on winter sowing on its website. So you can take a look at that.
Good
we don't have anything on our website about it yet. But I did find a really good one from Bachman's.
Excellent. Good deal. Julie, I know we have to take a quick break here. I want to remind our listeners, our show, Smart Garden, is brought to us every week by our good friends at By the Yard. And you can see By the Yard furniture. They're at the St. Paul Home and Patio Show this weekend. We'll talk about that coming up in just a moment. Weather folks say we have freezing fog here in the Twin Cities, an east wind at 8, our CCO temperature reading at 9 degrees. We're hoping to reach about 31 later today. Of course, that forecast coming up in just a few minutes. 9 above. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on 830 WCCO. Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M is with us, with you, helping you out with your questions. That helps. Otherwise, you have to yell real loud. 651-989-9226 is the phone number, and I do see one line is open if you want to use it. And like Pete in Roseville, he's using it. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Denny. Hi, Julie.
Good morning.
Quick question. We got a bag of dried, mostly rose petals. We were wondering if it was safe to spread those in the soil. We were thinking about where we're spreading it to plant tomato plants. Will that be okay, or is it better just to throw them away, or what's your thoughts?
I guess my question is, why would you spread them in the soil for the tomato plants? What's your objective?
Well, I guess fertilizer,
okay.
That sort of thing.
I don't think it's going to hurt anything. It depends if the are they organic? Do you know that they haven't been treated with anything?
I'm thinking that they were treated. They were like,
okay.
You know, the roses were like, you know, presents, that sort of thing.
Okay. So if they're not treated with anything, yeah, you could put them in the soil. You could put them in a composter first and just let them break down. I mean, it's kind of, you know, they're so thin and they're so small that they're not going to make much of a difference as far as, you know, affecting the plants negatively or anything.
Okay.
Provided
thanks.
They haven't been treated with something.
Okay, Pete. Thanks, Pete, for the question. And Pete leaves
that. An interesting question.
Yeah.
I've never had that question, Pete, I have to say.
That's all right.
That was really interesting.
651-989-9226. By the way, text number is 81807. What will grow under pine trees in sandy soil?
Oh, boy.
You could look on the university's website
for
that.
You could look on our site. That's a dry shade location. And there are not very many plants that would do very well, because it's actually quite shaded under those pine trees. It depends on what kinds. If they're red pines and they're up, you know, the branches are quite high and you get quite a lot of light down there. But if they're, say, a denser Norway or Austrian pine or something like that, then you're going to have – it's going to be more challenging. So you're going to look for plants that can tolerate dry shade. And, you know, I'm thinking hosta. I'm thinking about Virginia waterleaf. That's a great early blooming pollinator plant. It spreads quite a bit. It does have big seed heads. You could just take those off when they after the flowers drop off. I am thinking about some of our heuchera that are more hardy, like the purple palace might grow under there. Lily of the Valley might grow under there too. So take a look at our website under perennials. And also you can check the Plant Elements of Design plant database, which is in under landscaping on our website.
Okay, very good.
And we should probably mention the website, right?
What is that now?
I bet you know it by heart. extension.umn.edu. Click on the garden tab, go to Yard and Garden, and you'll find that plant database under landscaping.
It's just flat out selection. A great resource.
It really is a great resource. Yeah. We're doing a bunch of new stuff on it, too.
Be very proud of that. All right, back to the phones. We go Phyllis in Shoreview is next. Phyllis, you're on with Julie.
Hi, Danny. Hi, Julie.
Morning. Hi, Phyllis.
I have a solution for whitefly.
Oh, okay.
I have a 40-year-old hibiscus.
Oh,
it's beautiful.
Wow.
It's 6 feet high.
Wow.
It's double blooms. It's that beautiful, beautiful
nice.
Red. For years, I've fought with those white flies winter.
You're something else, because I'd chuck that thing out the door.
Truly.
How did you do that?
What'd you do?
My daughter shared with me eucalyptus oil.
Okay.
You shake some of those eucalyptus oil drops in a little hand sprayer, and you shake it up, and you spray it.
Okay.
You spray the leaves. You spray the bark. I used everything, truly, including a bomb in the room. And the flies were terrible.
It's
been now the third year that it's bug-free.
It's fly-free.
Wow.
I even used it when we had, in the spring, when I had the rhododendrons and the azaleas outdoors.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, they were blooming, but the leaves were missing.
Oh, dear.
And I went and sprayed just because, and it became alive with little green worms.
Oh, okay.
And that killed them.
Huh.
So it's not dangerous. It's not a chemical. It's a very simple oil product.
Oh, what a great tip, Phyllis.
Well, that's interesting.
How about that?
Wow. So a few drops in a spray bottle, shake it up?
Yeah, just you know, they come with those little bitty holes. And
right.
You shake it, shake it, shake it. I've used the lavender and the same sort of thing for my spray my laundry.
Okay.
My ironing.
Yeah. There you go.
Some great household hints today.
Wow.
Good going, Phyllis.
I think neem oil would probably act in a similar way. Now, maybe Phyllis tried that. She says she's tried everything. So spraying with eucalyptus oil, that sounded like it worked for her.
Yeah, I guess. What a great tip. Thanks, Phyllis. Appreciate that. Phyllis leaves that line open. 651-989-9226. Texter, and that number, by the way, is 81807 for your text messages. Any problem pruning large trees now? What do you think?
No, not really.
Not yet?
I think you could prune them. Sure. There's none that I can think of that would be a problem. If we have warmer days, you know, and you prune birch, for example, you might get a little bit of sap bleeding. It's perfectly normal, nothing to be worried about.
Texter was wondering about indoor hibiscus and orange tree inside this winter covered with oranges. Can I trim those now or should they be fertilized?
I would fertilize those right now, especially because they're covered with oranges. You don't want to be trimming those off. Trimming can can stress a plant for a short time. So right now, because it's loaded with fruit, I would wait till you pick all the fruit off and use it. I'm wondering if they think it's a calamond. I think I pronounced that correctly, calamine orange. But I would wait. I would wait till the fruit is you know, dropping off.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Staying tight on that one.
Steve in Minneapolis calling in with a question. Hi, Steve. Thanks for calling. What's your question for Julie?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Hey,
morning.
Listen, I picked some canna lily bulbs last year.
Okay.
And I planted them, and they bloomed late. I mean, it was like late August by the time they bloomed. And the thing was, is that when I put them in containers, they were probably about the size of tennis balls, you know, maybe two or three or four. When I pulled them out this last fall, my word, they were like almost the size of football.
They're huge, yeah.
Yeah. So can I plant those like soon, like maybe in the next couple of weeks, early in containers, and then transplant them outside when it warms up?
Yeah, in fact, that is a great idea. If you wait too long on cannas, as you found out, they don't bloom till the end of the summer. It takes them a while to get large enough to actually bloom. So yeah, planting them now and putting them in a sunny window in your house and then watering them, and they'll start to sprout. And then you can get them outside and transplant them out when they're, you know, actually leafing out and everything. You'll get flowers sooner then.
Great. Thank you so much.
You bet.
All right. Thank you for the call.
I'm going to do that this year, too.
Are you?
I had the same problem Steve did. I planted them too late. And so I actually took – mine are in five-gallon buckets that sit inside of cedar planter.
Oh, sure.
So I'm going to – I just put the buckets in the garage, so they're overwintering in there.
Ready to go.
Yeah. My garage is full of stuff.
But it's heated.
It's heated, yeah.
Lucky you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's 50 degrees in there.
Oh, woo-hoo. Neat. All right, I'll tell you what, Julie, we have to take our usual bottom of the hour break. We have another half hour of the show to go, so if you didn't get your question answered this first one, call us or text us. 651-989-6. Text number is 81807. We'll be back with more Smart Garden here on 830 WCCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on 830 WCCO. Denny Long with Julie Weisenhorn from the University of Minnesota.
Yeah, go Gophers.
Yeah, go Gophers. we have texters, we have callers, but we had a text earlier today. A lot of folks maybe don't know that besides doing the marvelous job you do at the U of M, you are playing a band.
Yes.
Called the Abiders.
The Abiders, yeah.
And somebody wanted to know if you have a website. Do you?
Yeah, we do have a website. It is theabiders.net. And we are also on Facebook at The Abiders.
All right.
So you can find us that way. They actually said, what is your band's website? We'd like to book you in East St. Paul. So you can just email me at julieweisenhorn@gmail.com.
Oh, okay.
So you can do that too.
Do we get a booking fee here for this?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, fine.
Of course. we'll negotiate that later.
Just wondering. Sure. All right. Thanks for the text.
Yeah, I look forward to hearing from you.
Good deal. Speaking of text messages, if you rather, then we'll get back to the phones. That number is 81807. Somebody wanted to know, Julie, are my houseplants considered in direct sunlight, no matter what window it is, if the sun hits them at some point?
No, not really, because by the time the light gets through your windows, it's usually not as intense as direct sunlight outside. So if you have a really hot westerly window, that's probably as close to direct sunlight as you might get. And we usually talk about full sun as being the most light, the highest light, the most intense light outside. And we're talking 6 to 8 or more hours of sunlight, direct sunlight at that point. So very rarely is there going to be a house that has that much sunlight, that intense, and be considered full sun.
Yeah.
So that's one of the drawbacks for houseplants is light.
Yep.
You have to really know what your plant grows best in. But a lot of houseplants are understory tropicals, and they do quite well in just a bright window, or even in a northerly window. Some plants do well in that too.
So. Okay. Yeah, good clarification.
Yes.
All right. Let's go
good
back
question.
To the phones. Yes, it was a good question. Brent in Roseville. Brent, you're on CCO with Julie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
A hibiscus tree I bought about 6 years ago, and it's doing well. And I was told to transplant it, you know, maybe a year or two later, which I did.
Okay.
But then I was told not to transplant it anymore.
Huh.
And I'm just wondering, you know, into a little bigger container. I'm just wondering, wouldn't that start getting root bound and everything?
Well, I would think so. That's, boy, I would not advise that, I don't think. I think I would transplant it as it got larger.
Yeah.
And if you have to water it, you know, if the water rushes out the bottom, if it's dry within 24 hours after watering it, it has to be watered again. Those are all good indicators that it's overgrowing its has become quite pot-bound. The other thing about it, too, is that if the tree hibiscus got quite large, which we've talked about this morning already, and if that starts to tip over a lot, then the container's too small and you need to go to a larger container.
Okay, and then how about watering in the winter? I have it in the basement in the light area.
Okay, you can just water it when it's dry. You just want to feel like the top few inches of soil.
Okay, okay. All right, thank you.
All right, Brent. Thank you. Brent leaves that line open, 651-989-9222. It really is, isn't it? 651-989-9226 is our phone number, or the text number is 81807. Somebody wants to know, I was told my lipstick plant is a terminal bloomer. What does that mean?
Okay, so that means that the flowers are on the ends of the stems, on the terminal bud. And the reason for knowing that is if you're cutting it back and you cut those off, it's not going to bloom very well. So you want to actually let that get larger. And those are quite, if I'm envisioning it correctly, those plants can kind of droop over a little bit. They're very, they've got these long kind of reddish orange flowers on them. So, yeah, so that's what a terminal bloomer is. Blooms on a terminal bud.
I always like to ask you and your colleagues what, and maybe I should ask you this first, what's going on at the Arboretum?
I mean, there's always something going on. Just at the Arboretum.
You were?
Well, they still have their exhibit on fragrance and flowers. Mm. And holy cow, if you have not been out there and you like orchids and hyacinth and daffodils and, I mean, beautiful fragrant flowers, now's the time to go. The whole Great Hall, which is the main visitor center area, is filled with exhibits and plants and flowers. And
all right.
In fact, they have a glass house in the Great Hall that's loaded with orchids. It's fantastic.
And that is located right off Highway 5 and 41, I guess, is the closest
intersection. Yeah, just west of 41 on Highway 5.
For the entrance there, yeah. Great place.
Great to bring kids out there.
By the way, we've got a bunch of text messages, and if you want to send one in yourself, 81807. Last week you were talking about water for your indoor plants. I collect snow. I have two pails, one for snow, one for holding.
Must be holding the melted snow.
Yeah,
the
to water. Show how dry the snow was last week, texter says. I had a 5-gallon pail full of snow. When it melted, there was about 3 inches of water in the pail.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. Also, I hope thistle seed doesn't grow. I have a lot under my bird feeders.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
Don't know about the thistle seed.
Yeah.
But that's interesting because in the summer when you get like a 2 or 3 inch rain, think about how much snow that will be.
That's true. Just the reverse, right?
It's like, yeah. Wow.
Texter says, where is this? Oh, no, here it is. Can I plant flower bulbs in the spring, or did I need to do that last fall?
Yeah, there was another one actually about that too, a bag of tulips that didn't get planted last fall. What should I do with them? The problem with hardy bulbs like tulips, daffodils, is they need a cold period. They need a winter where they are actually cold in order to bloom. And so if you didn't plant them now and they're sitting in a bag in your refrigerator or on a workbench or something like that, you want to look them over, and you could try forcing them. And we have a publication on our extension site about how to force bulbs. Essentially, you pot them up in a pot, and you put them into the refrigerator and keep them moist. Don't let them dry out. And you do that. You leave them in there for about 10 or 12 weeks. Then you can take it out of there. You've simulated that cold period called stratification. You can take it out. Put it in a sunny window, and they should bloom at that point. Forcing them will also pretty much deplete the carbohydrates that are stored in the bulb. So replanting them is probably not going to be an option. You'll get a lot of leaves maybe, but it might be years before they bloom again. So you would just compost those after they bloom.
Okay.
Yeah, you see dish gardens a lot right now out at garden centers. And that's what those are, dish gardens.
All right.
Yeah, there are a lot of blooming hardy bulbs. If you have summer blooming bulbs like cannas, like the gentleman who called in before, those you can plant in the spring, and they will bloom in the summer. So there's a number of different summer blooming bulbs.
Paul in Bloomington sent a text, can you suggest a variety of daylily that blooms all summer long?
Stella de Oro, pretty much, and some of its relatives. So otherwise, the other thing you could do is you could select daylilies, this daylily will bloom in early summer. This one will bloom in the midsummer and kind of combine different daylilies together that bloom at different times.
We had a text, we had a question earlier about what, and you were giving suggestions of what would grow under, in sandy soil, under pine trees. And the text says, Creeping Charlie grow well under the, we got our Creeping Charlie question or comment in.
I hope somebody calls in with Creeping Charlie next week when Sam's here.
I bet it'll happen.
Yeah.
For those that just
joined
us.
Someone's jotted that down right now.
Julie is mentioning that the next two Saturdays, we'll have actually two folks in here, Kate and Sam. And Sam, as you know, if you're a listener to the show, is our turf guru. So we're going to be talking, taking your questions and texts about lawns.
Yeah.
All right.
That would be great.
As I said, maybe by the end of the week, you might even be able to see yours.
Now, Kate's a master gardener, so she knows, and she's also a landscaper, so she knows lots of other things.
So we'll have a lot of good help
in Sam's going to be here for 2 weeks.
Yes.
You know, I think he'll be on later this spring, too.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah. That's when we really get the deluge of lawn questions.
He knows his stuff. All right. Well, that was the Creeping Charlie one. So if you, again, if you do have a text, 81807, or if you prefer, give us a call, 81807.
Yeah, it looks like somebody also said, go to wintersown.org for info on winter sowing. So that's winter, S, and then S-O-W-N, all
Wintersown.
Wintersown.org. Okay. So thanks for that tip.
Very good. I know we're getting calls, and Julie, we're going to take a quick break here. And we'll be right back with more of our Smart Garden Show, brought to us every week by our friends at By the Yard Outdoor Furniture. We'll be back. And good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here with Julie Weisenhorn from the University of Minnesota. And we have callers, Julie, and we have texters as well. I tell you what, let's get Rick and Blaine's question answered for him. Thanks for waiting, Rick. What can we do for you?
Well, I have a rookie question. I have to. I put in a garden right in front of my windows, and I did gladiolas last year.
Yes.
And boy, they were nice, but they don't last long. But they were so beautiful when they, as long as they lasted. Now, I didn't know whether I was supposed to pull those out at the end of the year. I just, what I did was just kind of, I got a shears and I cut off down to, you know, maybe most of it anyway, and I left them in, and then I planted bulbs, crocus and tulips.
Oh, nice.
In there in between. Now, do I pull the other ones out, or do I just leave those in and they may bloom again? How does that work?
Oh, boy. I'm looking up on our website under tender bulbs, and I don't, I see gladiola. So here it says, dig 6 or 8 weeks after bloom or when frost kills the foliage. Cure for 2 to 3 weeks in a dry, well-ventilated area at about 60 to 70 degrees. Remove old corm and cormels, which they're actually corms, not bulbs, and store in labeled paper bags. So, yes, you should have dug them out. You might want to plant some. Yeah. They may have not made it through the winter. They might have rotted. There's always a chance they didn't, but they're a tender bulb that needs to be stored indoors. So next year, plant some more, and then you can look up on the site under our Tender Bulbs publication. But it looks like 6 to 8 weeks after they bloom or when the foliage is killed by frost is when you dig them up, and then you let them dry.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
For a couple of few weeks. And then put them in a paper bag, label their color, you know, if you know the cultivar or the variety.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks, Rick.
Good.
Okay.
I'll get the other ones anyway coming up.
Well, yeah, the daffodils and stuff. Those are hardy bulbs. You don't need to dig those up. And daffodils are great because they're actually poisonous, and so squirrels do not eat them.
And they don't touch them.
Mm-hmm. One bite and no more squirrel.
Rick sounds like he's not a rookie. He sounds like he knows what he's doing.
I think you know what you're doing.
Yeah. Thanks, Rick. 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. Excuse me. Text says, how high can I cut branches off Colorado spruce or blue spruce?
Well, you shouldn't have to cut them off at all. It's a shame that they do have a needle cast disease that causes the lower branches, starts at the lower branches and works its way up. And it's increased when we have high humidity in the summer. And so the needles will drop off, and you can treat the trees for that. You can contact a certified arborist about how to do that. But if you've already lost a lot of needles, then you're going to just have to prune it as you see fit. I would not prune half of them off because it will look really weird. You want to keep it as natural looking as you can. But and if the tree is over halfway, I'd say, you know, you might want to replace that tree.
Okay.
Sorry about that. But contact a certified arborist to have them come out and take a look at that and see if there's anything that can be done to help the
tree. It's always a good idea.
Yeah, if that's the issue. Now, if the branches are great and you just want to raise them up so you can plant under there or they're maybe in the way, you're just going to have to make the call on how you want that tree to look and what accessibility you need under that tree.
Texter wants to know, and you're going to have to help me on this, do soil moisture gadgets really work for indoor plants?
Well, a lot of soil moisture gadgets, these are probes that you that are digital, and you insert them into the soil, and they register the moisture level. You need to move them around the plant. If you just put them in one place, that could be the one place that water is still residing, and you want to move them. So you want to try it around different areas of the pot. Some of them come with two probes, which is better. But still, try it in a couple places before you rely on the reading at that point. I still think the old, digit works best, and that's sticking your finger in the soil.
Okay.
But some people don't want to get their fingernails dirty.
All right. Still the best way.
Still the best way.
All right.
Lifting the pot, too, is good.
Oh, really? Just the weight?
The weight of the pot. If the pot's really light
then you know
and
it's pretty dry,
time to water it.
Texter says, I had to move in the Saturday before Super Bowl snowstorm. Oh, I had a Scheflera plant that looks to have died along with two palm plants. Is there anything I can do to bring them back? I've been watering them. Still, all the leaves have fallen
off. That's the best thing to do is hopefully you just killed the top of the plant and it will re-leaf out from the base of the plant. The palms might be a little trickier because we normally don't cut off palms. Once you do that, they don't regrow. So those might be goners. But your Scheflera might be okay. You can always dig it up and, look at the roots and look at the base of the plant and then repot it up and try that. But I would just leave it alone right now. Keep doing what you're doing. Put it in a sunny window. Keep it warmer. Warm it up. And you've cut off the dead leaves. That's great. But those palms might be kind of iffy.
Texter wants to know, is it too late to prune a maple tree? It is a mature maple, by the way.
No, that's fine. You can prune a maple tree now.
Last fall, my neighbor, Texter says, gave me a pod from a wild milkweed plant. He thought I'd like to plant it in my butterfly garden. How should I do that?
Let's see. I should know this because we get questions about this, but I'm drawing a blank. There's a pot. I think probably some listeners know better than I do, but I think that milkweed needs a cold period also. So it is a slow grower. It is not going to, it may not bloom the first year. But I think getting it out there early enough in the spring so it has some time to germinate and then go ahead and get started growing is the best best approach for that. But if people have planted milkweed successfully, please text in.
Okay. 81807 is the text number. Here's a text. My hibiscus plant has lost all of its leaves. There seems to be growth coming from the branches. It's 10 years
That's
old.
That's a common thing that is happens it? With hibiscus. They'll drop their leaves, especially if you've changed the location. And as long as there's new growth coming, no problem. You could take this time though to actually prune the tree. So if it's too large or if it's got some crazy branch that's sticking up above everything else, this would be the time to prune it while it's not, while it's just reemerging.
A texter is wondering, are tree trimming companies working at this time of the year? I haven't seen any in the neighborhood like I do in the summer yet. It sounds like now might be a good time to have my ash tree trimmed.
You could contact a tree trim company.
I'm sure they do work.
Sure, yeah. They, of course, want to work year-round if they can. So it's probably been, it might have been windy. It may have been, we've had quite a bit of snow. They might have been busy in other parts of the cities. They might be on vacation. I don't know. But just contact them. We have
climates.
A publication on the site on how to find a certified arborist who can also help you too. And that's at extension.umn.edu. Click on the garden tab, go to yard and garden, and then go to the tree section. And it's called How to Hire a Certified Arborist.
Oh, okay.
You could Google that too.
Texter wants to know, is it rigorous to be a master gardener?
Depends on the master gardener. Some people do as much as they can, And some people put in hundreds of hours every year. Some people put in the minimum 25. And it really is up to the individual how much time they have to. They're all volunteers, so it's based on their time to volunteer. But the education is great, if I say so myself. We do a lot with we make a real effort and extension as educators to bring new information to Master Gardeners and help them out whenever they need it. So I always look forward to speaking to Master Gardener groups, and a lot of them are my buddies, and we're all gardeners, so we got a lot in common.
Yeah, I should say. Julie, we have a minute or less to go here. Another texter uses water with rain and snow water. My plants are so happy.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
In 20 seconds, what's wrong with tap water?
Tap water is softened water. It sometimes has more salts in it. It can also be treated with fluorine or chlorine. Right. And there's some sensitivity to that in houseplants.
Do you know what that last text is right here?
Where can one get bulk? Oh, bulk vegetable seeds, not bulk. Yeah, bulk. You can order them. So okay. You can order. I just ordered some red ace, some ace peppers. I ordered 500 seeds from one of our seed companies, from Johnny's.
All right. Next week, next 2 weeks, going to be Kate and Sam.
I won't see you now till the end of March.
Well, we'll miss you.
24th.
24th. We'll look forward to your return.
Yep.
And next week we join with Kate and Sam. We'll talk lawns, turf and gardening. All right, we've got to run.
Sounds
Thanks,
good.
Julie.
Yep, you bet.
In the Twin Cities right now, some freezing fog. It's 9 above.